Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Oh, today is Wednesday, January the 7th, 2015. And we apologize for being a couple minutes late getting the show started. Time just slipped up on us. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Well, hey there. Welcome. Delighted to be here. Thank you. We actually moved rooms at the place we were staying, so time got away from us. But here we are in sunny South Florida. I hear it's pretty nasty up your way, Tim.
Yeah, we're bitter cold. We're
ouch.
Very grateful that we have climate-controlled cars and houses and restaurants to be in, and it's just a beautiful, bright, sunny day, but it is very cold.
I hear you loud and clear, and I certainly hear that appreciation, and we appreciate the air conditioning. So it's all a matter of where you happen to be. Environment. Such an interesting thing, what happens in the outer world and how our minds can transfer what's happening in the outer world to call it cause for what's happening in the inner world. And our work, of course, together is that of understanding and recognizing that the inner world is always totally and completely under our control, that no matter what's going on in the outer world, we have the ability to change the dynamics that are happening within us. I saw an interesting film a couple of days ago called Unbroken. And you talk about someone in the extreme of being able to live in a mind that takes charge of its internal dynamics no matter what goes on in its external world. It's a really powerful portrayal of that principle, and that we, in fact, can take charge of that, and whatever someone else chooses to inflict upon us, should that occur, we can always modulate and mediate the response and make changes. And of course, if you find yourself in a situation where you give up your human life because someone in the outer world seems to impose something on you, if you watch that film, you'll see the extreme example of the ability to still change the internal dynamic, to take charge of one's own life and one's own mind. And it's interesting that the gentleman that was film was made about, it was just released a week or so ago, and unfortunately, he didn't live to see the film be released. It was about his life and back in as a prisoner of war in World War II, and he was in his, I guess, mid-90s when he died just a little earlier this year, missing the film that came out about his life. But powerful lessons. Have you seen it, Tim?
No, I've heard about the book. I've read parts of it. I've talked with people about it. But I have heard just what you're saying, that it's a person who realized he could choose his experience. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. It reminds me of a story Guy Finley tells about there's a wise old owl in the forest whose job is to watch over the animals and help resolve disputes. And one day hears a clamor, and he flies over to where the noise is coming from, and hears this clearing that's just full of all these animals having this very heated debate. And they're arguing about Lord knows what, and the owl Merlin flies down and says, so what's going on? And they all explain to him all at once in a cacophony of noise that he can barely understand that basically what they're fighting about is who's the happiest. And they're having this big argument. And so finally they turn to the owl and they say, so you tell us, old wise one, who's the happiest? He says, well, none of you here is the happiest. And one of them says, wait a minute. One of us here has to be the happiest. And he says, well, yeah, one of the animals in the forest is the happiest, but he's not here. Well, who is it? Who is it? Well, it's Tom the turtle. And they said, what do you mean? And he said, well, he's the happiest because he takes his home with him wherever he goes. He's always at home. He's always at peace. He's not worried about arguing with you about who's the happiest. He's just busy being the happiest because he realizes it's all an inside job. And, you know, it's part of a talk where Guy Finley says that the secret to true spiritual success is three words. Location, location, location. If you think the source of your problem is outside of you, you're focused on the wrong location. It's all an inside job. So, I think the guy in Unbroken definitely understood that in ways that many of us are still looking to train ourselves, to teach ourselves, to observe for ourselves. At great depth, he understood that.
Absolutely. It's a powerful portrayal. And, of course, how much forgiveness work does one have to do? It does not. The film does not particularly demonstrate him entering into forgiveness, but when you see the results that he produces, you know that there are so many shifts that have to happen in his mind, and he keeps reminding himself that the dynamic is his to choose over. So, pretty powerful. Well, Jimmy, is there anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with anything for us to be aware of at the moment?
We actually have four hands up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
Okay. The first one is area code 417273. And the reason I gave six is because there's two 417 numbers.
I think that might be me. It's Jim.
It is?
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm really excited because Dr. Tim's anecdote is a great lead into an anecdote that I have for you guys. And it's the story of a six-year-old boy who goes to his father one day, and he says to him, Dad, he said, pretend that you were surrounded by 1,000 tigers. What would you do? So the father thinks for a minute, and he thinks, well, you know, he says, I wouldn't start running because there's no way I could outrun tigers. If I just lay down on the ground, they're going to come and eat me anyway. And he finally gives up, and he says to his six-year-old son, he says, I give up. He says, what would you do? And his six-year-old son says, I'd stop pretending.
That's awesome.
I thought, boy, when I just read that on Friday, and I thought, man, is this a great exemplification of what we allow our mind to show us? I thought you'd appreciate it. I'm complete.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, there's a story about the fellow who taught the old man, and he asked him his key to his happiness. He said, well, you know, he said, I finally realized that of all the turmoils and traumas that I have been through, 95% of them never happened. And So often we put ourselves through things with our own internal dynamics. You know, and the environment, one of the key things in the process, I think, is to, when we do find ourselves putting ourselves through something, turmoil, trauma, fear, anger, you know, pointing a finger at somebody else, pointing our irritation or upset at somebody else, is to look at the environment that we're in and then start to think about, well, when have I been in that environment before? And oftentimes that will help to open the space to go, oh, so when Dad did this when I was a kid, and here I am having to do the same thing, only for me it was painful. You know, I created pain around what Dad did, so here I stand 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, putting myself through pain as though Dad were there doing it again. And Dad may not even be present, but the environment is enough to stimulate those old brain cells, and the irritation, the upset, the disturbance is right back, just as though I were back there at, you know, 5 years old watching Dad do whatever it was that I had pain about. And if I simply apply forgiveness, if I can look at the environment that seems to be caused, well, whenever this happens, I just, you know, it just really upsets me. It's like, well, of course we know that something outside of you doesn't upset you, but if this happens, then it might be a good cue to start to look at, what's the source of my pain and turmoil here? And maybe I can stop pretending that it's somewhere in the outer world. Great story, Jim. Anything else to share with us today, Jim?
Hello?
Are you still with us, Jim? I guess we lost him, but I hear Magda's voice. Welcome, young lady.
Got so many 417s here. That was a great story. And I'm about to give you a wonderful example of the inside job. I really need some help today. Chuck and I just did a responsibility communication, and he is very supportive and encouraged me to call you and ask for some assistance. Something has come up with my old junk, and it was triggered. You know that Chuck does massage work. He's a body worker.
Right.
And, yeah, and I got completely triggered when he told me he was going to be doing some body work on a lady we know. And what it brought up for me was my fear, my suspicion, my hurt from past experiences that I've had with men. And on the bottom line of on it, because I've done a lot of work on this, apparently there's a lot more to do, but what I have learned from the work I've done in the past is that this is about a belief that I have, that I've inherited from my genealogy, and it's that men cheat on the women they make promises to. And, it's a big one. And so I've had some of my own experiences with that, and I know, you know, there's a lot in my family history and the world history and all that jazz. So I'm just, I know that I have a lot more work to do, and I'll take any suggestion you have in that direction. And then I have another question, which is resonance. And so I have a double fear, and one is that the belief I'm holding, this belief about men cheat, is that that I can resonate, because obviously it's pretty strong in me, that I could resonate that to be acted on, not cause it, but resonate that in Chuck, because I know he has his own history with his family and, you know, whatever in his genealogy.
Right.
And so I'd like you to speak to both of these questions and give me whatever help you can, please.
Okay. So, first thing I would do is I'd probably start with a mind shifter or two. I think two would be appropriate. And so a starting point with a mind shifter, if you've got your pen handy.
I do.
Okay, how about, I love it when the men in my life cheat on me. Big breath. And then a second mind shifter.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Okay, I got it. I just finished writing the first one. I'm going to move to a different room because Chuck is listening on a different phone and we're having...
Getting an echo?
We're not on the same wavelength. You know, it's a little bit of a delay. Okay, go ahead with the second one, please.
So the second one, you see, the men in my life love it.
Men
when I in my life I love it. When I cheat on
love them. It. The men in my life love it when
I cheat on them.
I cheat on them. Oh, that's interesting.
Now if anybody
wow.
is listening and says, Michael Rice, are you insane? Why would you tell her to write that? Well, let me just take a minute and explain the concept of a mind shifter, okay? This isn't an affirmation. This is not, you know, playing the affirmation game where we try to pretend something's true that isn't. A mind shifter, let me define it, is a tool, and it's a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts. So, again, just for those who are listening who may not be familiar with the tool, if I say, don't think about the color of your car, what fires in your brain cell structure? Obviously, the color of your car. So the mind operates by resonance. So, and the mind stores things in files, so to speak. And so there's a thing called the file folder effect. And when you resonate one set of brain cells in a file, everything related to that particular set of brain cells also starts to fire, everything that's wired in it. And so the idea of the mind shifter is to recognize, and from your language, it sounds like you and Chuck both have genetic files and history of cheating. And so what you want to do is set aside a time frame. And again, I'm explaining this not for you, Magda, because I know you know what to do with it, but for those who are listening who perhaps resonate with the issue, is to set aside a time of an hour to 2 hours. Phones are off. Everything is totally settled so that you're in your own space, and you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle, the mind shifter on one side of the page, and then you write everything that comes up in response to it on the opposite side of the page. And the idea of that is when you get those brain cells firing that we've dissociated from, the ones that hold our pain, our turmoil, our trauma, and we can get that to come up in the presence of love and while we're breathing, then we tend to melt those things off. So these two mind shifters are designed to go right to the file folder in the mind on infidelity, bring those things up, and look at the hidden and the unconscious dynamics. So that would be the reason for using that. And then, Magda, a third mind shifter I'd suggest working on is?
Okay.
I know that Chuck...
Oh, I didn't... That didn't come through clearly. Say again.
Okay. The third one would be, I know that Chuck...
I know that Chuck... Okay.
...is 100%
trustworthy.
Has integrity in his word.
Has integrity. And what was the next word?
In his word.
Oh, in his word.
And he's totally true to me.
Oh, that didn't come through clearly either.
And is totally true to me.
And is always true to me?
Yeah, that'll work.
It?
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you, Michael. May I add something about the mind shifter? You're giving the ideas about how that works to people who are listening who may not be familiar with it, and I can also tell them that when they wait for the response to come up, it can be any response. It can be feelings in the body, thoughts, whatever. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm having a lot of feelings coming up in my body right now. I'm literally shaking just by writing these down, and I haven't even started to work with them.
Yep, and that's the idea, for sure.
It's really powerful.
That's the idea, yeah. So breathe with me. Breathe with me.
Yep.
And know that it's safe for that old pain to surface. It's safe in the context of your relationship to surface the pain and work through it. And I'm just grateful that you shared that Chuck is there supporting you and suggested that you call. And you know, we all have, I doubt there's a person on the planet that doesn't have infidelity in their genetics. I was watching last night, once again, the video on the ghost in your genes. Go to the website, watch that again, and I'm really getting at a new level the depth of issues and things that are passed on from generation to generation. And so when infidelity is resonated in one's genes, the tendency is to look around for a place to express the inclinations that come up from that. And what sadly tends to happen in relationships is that each person's pain squares off pain of their partner, and the pain and the unconscious resonance is reinforced. What we're looking to do with the mind shifter and what we hold the space for you and Chuck is that each of you, recognizing you have that in your history and it's there to work through, are safe to bring the deepest layers of pain to the surface in the presence of love, melt it off, and heal infidelity in your bloodline, both being the cheater and the one cheated on. And, you know, this is a big and powerful piece of work to allow that to surface and then to choose to be in integrity. You know, we recently did a new 4-hour video, which is something that we're working on getting ready to release. And one of the quotes that I came across when I was prepping for that was from Jonas Salk, where he says, the most important thing you can be is a good ancestor. And this ghost in your genes really reinforces this. This genetic researcher talks about how, and in this case, he's talking about diet. They're still missing several pieces. They don't understand the mind energy aspect of it yet, but they're talking about diet, and they're saying, you know, this gives people another reason to be in integrity with what they do with their food. Because what they're showing is that 2 to 3 generations later, after certain food events happen, starvation, they're working with Iceland and where they've got records of poor harvests, and they can see how a poor harvest at a certain stage of gestation for, let's say, a grandfather is actually shaving many years off the life of a grand or a great-grandchild. And they've got enough records to consistently see that. And so, you know, knowing that we all have that, and of course we live in a world that can think of nothing but strife and fight when those things come up, and those things have to come up to be healed. And so I join you both and applaud you and laud you for the fact that you're willing to go there and you're willing to open the gate to healing those things, because probably you're some of the few people on the planet who've ever conceived that such a possibility is even conceivable. So it's pretty awesome to watch you doing it. And to be part of it, I'm honored.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for everything, for being there, right now. And
you're here for eternity.
Say again? I didn't get that.
We're here for eternity to support all of that moving.
Yes.
All of it.
Yeah.
To embrace it in ourselves, to embrace it in you, to embrace it in everyone in our audience. I'm sure you're not the only one right now with this conversation. It's got stuff coming up about infidelity. And when each one of us can shine the light of love on those dynamics in ourselves, those dynamics heal. And when two or more are gathered, there's a whole other energy that's available to us to support us in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the energy of the supreme love.
The only thing there is, really.
Yeah.
So my question about my vibration, my belief, triggering that to be activated in Chuck, that's really up to him, isn't it?
Well, it's up to him, but as you said, he's in the conversation with you and supportive. So what Chuck knows is that if you resonate that in him and it comes up and we know that Chuck's doing his work, that's going to be another layer of his healing and he'll just blow it off. You know, if the inclination comes up, if it's right there, you know, what I've found, you know, and I can trace back, you know, there was alcohol in my family history and infidelity, and I can trace back for me the moments where that inclination came up in me, and when I understood that there was such a thing as healing, then the tool that I developed for me personally was to choose to be human, to be love, to choose to have integrity with my word, and recognize that this inclination that came up in me, even to have my eyes wander to someone else, was out of integrity with my word. And so I would breathe and allow that to come up in me and look at the goal, cancel the goal, and clear that out. And so it gets to the point where even carbon-based memory then becomes support for turning back to integrity and what I'm committed to, as opposed to what might be a momentary pleasure and a fling that looks appealing and attractive. And it looks appealing and attractive because genes were passed on to us that said, well, you know, if you got trauma going on in your house, you get laid, well, you know, see, you had a moment of pleasure and things are better in your life, which, of course, is pretty short-sighted insanity. It just creates more trauma. What makes things better in our lives is when we let those things come forward and we say, oh, I have chosen to act a certain way, and this feeling and this inclination doesn't go along with how I've chosen to act, so I'm just going to forgive this and choose to move my mind back to integrity with my commitment and how I cherish this person in my life that I've chosen to spend my life with and how deep and how meaningful that is, and use that awareness to, one, forgive the old inclination, and two, step into a whole new energy. And as you plant that new energy into your genes, then you give it to all of your bloodline, living or dead, past, present, future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so exciting.
It is exciting.
That is so exciting.
But it's not Dr. Feelgood to get there.
Yeah, I hear that. And the way I'm feeling right now in comparison to 10 minutes ago is extremely different, which has to do with the fact that I know these tools work, and just getting the direction that I have from you and knowing that I'm going to work with it, there's just so much hopefulness involved in how I feel right now. So thank you.
And notice that
again and again and again.
Remember that feelings come from thoughts,
right.
And if I allow myself to touch into my unconscious thinking that's creating unconscious feelings, and I change that thinking,
then I consciously create my feelings rather than my feelings being unconsciously created. And whatever, and this is what I was talking about earlier, whatever the environment is will tend to resonate what's already in there. And when I wake up to choose to create consciously, then I'm in charge of the whole process.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you. I'm going to
And if you go and see the film, if you go and see the film Unbroken, you'll see it in spades. I mean, talk about a whole new level of commitment to taking charge of your mind. This man has got it in spades. Real, live, honest to God, true story. And it's just, it's amazing. It's inspiring. I mean, it's you take worksheets and breathe, because it's horrific what he goes through. To watch the dynamic of what he does with his mind is just...
Oh, is this a current
godly.
Film, Michael?
It's a current film. Yeah, it's out in the theaters right now, Unbroken. It's a true story about a young man who was a gold medal winning athlete and then went into the military in World War II, became captive to the Japanese, and there's a man who knew that he was a medal winning athlete, an Olympic athlete. And so he selected him to be the point of rage and abuse. And what he puts this man through is just amazing. And, you know, the upshot is, the true story is, when he survives through this horrific abuse, he chooses to get involved in forgiveness. I mean, he's still talking about forgiving them, but moving in that direction. And he actually goes back to Japan and visits personally with each of his abusers, except for the main guy who was, you know, had selected him for, to use as an example, would not see him. These guys are all now, you know, in prison as prisoners of, you know, from war crimes. But he went back to see them and have conversations and make peace. I mean, it's just, what an opening on the planet.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. Well, I'm gonna see that as soon as I can.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Michael. My love to all of you and blessings, and have a beautiful day. And I have a feeling there'll be some more tears coming up for me, and that's just fine. Because
awesome.
I know what's on
All right, we appreciate
life.
You.
Appreciate you, dear. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Blessings. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. If you have a thought, a question, did what we just say make sense to everybody? Oh, good. Let's go for it.
All right. First one is 541, and I believe this is Julie, and you told her to call back earlier. So, hi, Julie.
Hi. Thank you.
Hey there, young lady.
Hi. I have a short report from yesterday. I did some worksheets somewhat, as much as I could yesterday, and I just kept trusting Roka Dakucha to give me the words. So this morning, I found myself intending to make a connection with my roommate, and the words that came out of my mouth were, would it be possible to, let's see. Oh, first I said, may I speak to you? Like, I actually had to ask permission to speak to him. I did not pre-plan this script, and I felt myself like, what are you saying that for? You're being so nice to him. You shouldn't have to ask to be able to speak to him. Okay, that was in there. But I still,
sounds like your guidance is right on.
Right, and so then I waited for him to respond instead of being impatient that he wasn't saying anything, like he was just going to stonewall me again. And so he came up with not now, and I said, or he says, I don't want to discuss anything right now. And I said, well, I just have a couple of questions. It's not a discussion. And I went forward with them, and they were just household things. So that opened things up. And then Holy Spirit had me, well, I felt like I wanted to make more contact with them. So the words came, would it be possible for us to schedule a time when we can discuss things? And I thought, wow, that's a breakthrough. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So he took a long, several moments to respond, and I was just patient. And he said, not tonight, maybe tomorrow night. What does your schedule look like? And I said, I'll have to check. And, you know, we just did things humanely. It was really nice. So we're going to be scheduling a time to talk, which feels good. That's a big progress. I just wanted to report. And,
awesome. Sounds like you're listening to your guidance. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the
you know,
main thing
there's an ancient principle that's expressed in the scriptures that says, don't be concerned, for the words will be put in your mouth.
Yeah, and then just letting them, being okay with them as they come through, because it really is true. I want my resonances to change and get back to love. And so the words that will achieve that for me will be spoken, you know. It's really great, because there's always that little transition, the transition from the ego mind to the loving mind. It's a switch we can turn on and off, but sometimes there's some resistance to turning off the one and on the other. And yesterday, your help with me, the support you gave me, got me back. You and Dr. Tim both got me back to being connected to Source and trusting that I will be able to take care of myself in this situation of this discussion, that I can hold a space of love and be held in a space of love even as I hold someone accountable, yet with forgiveness in my heart of my own resonances, so that I'm not in attack and make wrong and, you know, pointing the finger. So, yeah, that kind of stuff is for me to do in my worksheets, you know, all the finger pointing, so that I can turn that around and just be there trusting the presence of love to guide both of us to an outcome that is true and correct for each party, you know, whatever that is, with no goal
in
mind.
You become a whole different space.
Yeah, and I can just be that space instead of, I don't know what I thought I had to do first, you know. I just fixed something in myself, but now I can trust that I am taken care of, and I am learning to take care of myself with my highest desires rather than another drama and crisis kind of thing. So I wanted to thank you for that step that we made together. We went far together instead of quickly alone. Thank you.
Right. Awesome.
Oh, and yeah,
nice
that
work.
Space, you know, when you told Christian the lion story again, I thought yesterday, why is he telling that story in this instance? And so then I shut up in my mind and listened, and I got a new piece, which you were emphasizing more the other lion, that because of the space that was created with Christian and his relationship and the love being present between him and his trainers, you're telling me that that's how others can be drawn to that space, and it's totally safe. So,
yay.
Or because of the sense of that safe space that others are drawn to it, and so that just confirms holding the space is where to be back to, connected to, when we feel we're not.
Yes. Yay.
So, okay, I'll be quiet because I think you have other people on the line, and I'll be in touch about this. Thank you.
Well, we continue to hold the space, and one of the other nice things to recognize is that space, when it is pointed to us and we're willing to attune to us to it, the support is there, and that energy is timeless and spaceless. You know, it doesn't it doesn't pay attention to where you are and where I am geographically. And so, to me, that's one of the beauties of the radio show, is that we have this whole cadre of people all over the globe who are really, truly there, holding the space for each other and moving forward in this process of healing. How cool is that?
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful creation. I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to participate in it. Yeah, I mean, what else can I choose at this point? It's just, and yeah.
Well, one thing Course in Miracles says is, choose once again. You know, he says that over and over again. Choose once again, choose once again. And every time the old resonance comes up, the old non-being mind comes up, that's the time to choose once again and to shift energy and go to a different space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always
and if
a possibility.
And ask for help if I can't do it myself, because the part of the mind that wants to do it itself is the part of the mind that I'm wanting to choose away from and towards the other, the higher
exactly,
ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Well, thank you. Once again, I'll be blessed today, and I'll extend those blessings.
Delighted. Thanks for being on the team.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Lots of love.
Bye.
Okay, and our next caller is 901. You're on the air.
Hello, Brenda in Memphis.
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, welcome, young lady. I did get your message, and I'll take care of that.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it, because I checked with the church to see if they had their copies, and they couldn't find them. So I really want to get started with that, so I appreciate that.
We'll get it handled.
Anyway, I had two quick questions, but after this session, I decided that what I would practice doing when Martha was talking about the infidelity and the cheating and such, and I thought, okay, I realized that my body was having some reactions. I thought, all right, Michael had suggested the other day that I get back into the still point breathing. So I've sat here doing my still point breathing and saying, asking Ruka that everything that anybody on the phone call addresses, which is part of my CBM corrupted data, let it come out while I'm sitting here doing my breathing. And as you know, when my stuff comes up, I yawn. And my jaws are so sore from yawning for the last 45 minutes. It's amazing. Anyway, so that is it. I wanted to say to Dr. Tim, it was interesting when he told the story about the who's the happiest. And this issue goes back to the question I was going to ask today or address. When I was at boarding school, we missionary kids used to sit around arguing about whose family was the poorest, or who was the poorest. And when we got to the point where nobody can be poorer than the other person, then someone said, well, and this was the girl who had 20 dresses where the rest of us had, three, she would say, well, my dad is rich in the Lord. And that was the end of that. So I thought, whoa, that little thing that we did probably, had planted so much of the poverty is holy stuff in my brain. So I thank Dr. Tim for bringing that story up, triggered back there. So the question
isn't it interesting that in the name of a man who says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly, people can get to the belief that poverty is holy.
Right. Right, it is, and consciously you can say that's insane, but it's, when it's planted in the carbon-based memory, it just comes up. Yesterday, you mentioned about, the caller had talked about the difference between forgiveness and pardon, and I'm still working with that and differentiating that over the last few weeks. And my situation that we did a worksheet, had to do a work about four worksheets on yesterday, because I went into, some really big rage. And I think people are going to think my life is a mess. It really isn't. I'm just cleaning out a lot of stuff. And I have a friend or an acquaintance, a person who has been acquaintance for years and years. And I have spent a lot of time and energy and such listening to his trauma drama, giving advice, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the person also stayed in my home over the last 6 months you know, continuous saying, well, I don't, I'm having financial problems, da, 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 da. And I was always having to say, look, I need some money. You need to pay me for staying here. I need, you need to at least pay the utility bill if you want to turn the heat up. And all the time along through that, I've been feeling guilt about asking this person who keeps saying that they don't, that they're in a financial situation, and in light of my financial situation, why I should be feeling guilty about his financial situation when he is buying flowers and going out on dates and going to the casinos and such like that. It's just insane.
So catch your denial there, Brenda.
Catch
your denial.
What was my denial? Say it.
Well, again, for those who perhaps aren't...
I don't remember what I said.
...used to being part of the show, the denial, our definition of denial is the act of thinking or speaking as though something outside of me can cause something to happen inside of me. And when I utilize denial in that way, then I hide the part of my mind. So notice your words were, and, you know, that I would feel guilty about his situation. My offering is, that's denial and dissociation. You don't feel guilty about his situation. His situation brings up your guilt. You feel guilty because inside of you is guilt. And when you
correct.
Can come out of the denial and own it, then there's another piece of your guilt that you can just free yourself from. And a good mind shifter, if you'd like a mind shifter in that regard.
Hang on just a second. Let me get the pencil here. I've been writing down all these mind shifters. Okay, go ahead.
Cool. So a good mind shifter would be, it's safe and healing and people cherish me.
I'm sorry, say I can. I'm having difficulty
It's safe and healing.
Okay.
And people cherish me.
Okay.
Especially when I ask them to be responsible.
Me, especially, that's very good. When I ask them to be responsible. Okay, that's great.
And, well, not finished yet, responsible, and take care of their obligations toward me.
Okay, take care of their obligations towards me. Okay,
Yay.
That is good.
Yeah.
All right, so I will do that because I was trying to figure out a mind shifter, but I did 4 worksheets on it yesterday. And
awesome.
I already thought the rest of that sentence. I broke the camel's back, canceled that thought, was after 3 weeks, as he was getting ready to leave, he said, I have $100 in my wallet. I need 20 to get home. Will $80 be okay? And that was it. I went, absolutely not. And so I said, no, you need to give me more than that. And so we settled on an amount, and the next day he sent me the amount. But it was that incident where I realized that he was just a mirror of my own internal devaluation of my time and my space. And so that's what I did my worksheets on.
Right.
Now, to the forgiveness and pardon, on the number 6, I said, not see that 1A simply has reflected the value I have placed on my time and space. He's a mirror to my inner CBM correct data. And then I acknowledge us for creating truth, perfect love, and structure a loving goal. And my goal was that he helped me forgive myself for all the things I do not need to pardon him for. And right after I wrote that, I was honest right next to it, because I realized that I was struggling about pardoning his actions, which triggered stuff in me, and that it simply is my work is on forgiving me, and the pardon can come later.
Whoa. That's the second time you've talked about forgiving you. Never forgive yourself for anything. If you do something that's off base, it's nice to pardon yourself. But the forgiveness is what you apply to the guilt, the fear, the rage, the sadness that comes up in interaction with someone. It's not about forgiving you.
Oh, okay. So what I should have put, what I would have been the right thing to say was, help me forgive the rage, anger, et cetera, triggered
exactly.
by the things that I do not need to pardon him for?
Well, you might choose to pardon him. You know, he's been off the wall. He's been inappropriate in his behavior, and it can be a nice thing to pardon him. But you want to make sure that you call that pardoning rather than calling that forgiveness.
Right, and that was
so that if he does this, you know, okay, so he's got an obligation and owes you money. He doesn't pay you, and so you may choose to pardon him for not paying you, and then you choose to forgive the guilt that you have over asking him to be responsible.
Right, and I did.
So that would be the sequence of things.
Okay, and I did those worksheets, and I am now at a point where this the situation will not happen again. Let's see, how should I say? I believe that I have corrected the situation, so we'll
awesome.
See. On that, but
cool.
I wanted to, because I realized that, and like you said, I was forgiving not myself, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because I've done that before, is forgiving myself instead of saying forgiving my internal corrupt data. So
right.
I have to differentiate on that and the pardon. The other question I had was, and I know we're getting close to time, is I'm still confused on what to identify as fear and what to identify as hostility, like sadness. Would that be fear or hostility? Would loss be fear or hostility? Would lack be fear or hostility? Frustration. So I'm still not clear on how to differentiate between what I'm feeling, fear or hostility.
Well, what you might want to do is go to the website, wygen.org, and on the front page, there's a feeling wheel, and it breaks things down into categories as to what feelings are outcroppings of fear, what feelings, how they relate. So you might look at that. But I would say that loss, for instance, loss is a thought. So if I'm thinking in terms of loss, then maybe I'm feeling sad about my loss. And that thought of loss comes from fear.
Okay.
It comes from separation. And so when I allow myself to reconnect with my source and I heal my thoughts of loss, then my sadness will tend to dissolve. So in that case,
okay.
sadness would be based in fear.
Okay.
And there might be another situation where I went into a fit of rage at someone and afterwards went into sadness about having raged at them. Oh man, I've lost connection, and we're back to loss again. I've lost connection to my source, and hostility became part of the picture, but it's still based in that idea of loss and separation.
Okay.
But I think you might find the feeling wheel useful.
Okay, I will get that one. I've been looking at the intentions, the function of the human mind. I've been using that, but I didn't have the feelings wheel. And then I guess my last question is, how important is it to identify something as correctly as either fear or hostility?
Well, I think what the really important thing is, as opposed to determining which that is being able to identify and decipher the thought behind it. That's really the important part, figuring out which it is. There are cases, I think, where that could be important, but much more important is what's the thought going on here. Like, for instance, so I asked him for money and up comes my guilt. So what's the thought that causes my guilt? Now, and it'll send you in totally different directions for your forgiveness work. So the thought that causes my guilt in that case might be that I don't deserve money. So then I'd be doing worksheets on myself and deserving.
Right.
Or the thought might be, you know, I was taught as a child that if you asked people for money, you were bad and you were wrong. So then your worksheet would go around the same exact circumstance, but the thought is different. Your worksheet would go in the directions of thoughts about, you know, forgiving thoughts about how I'm bad and wrong, or that people who ask others to be accountable are bad or wrong. So it's really the thing to do is to decode the thought that's underneath it. And because we've spent so many generations in denial, sometimes it's difficult to decode. It's easier to just blame somebody else and get snarky and snotty with them instead of stopping and going, I'm feeling something. And if I want to perpetuate that feeling, I just stay in denial and blame somebody else for it, and I'll get to do it over and over and over again. But once I start to decode, and it's a skill to learn to decode those underlying thoughts, because we've spent so long in denial. And so the willingness to decode those thoughts and change them becomes key in the process. And if we are unwilling to decode those thoughts, then the beauty of the universe is that the universe is set up to send us somebody with a decoder. Somebody's going to play it out in spades for us. So, it's, you know, it's an awesome system.
Okay, good. That answered, because the thoughts are much easier for me to write down than to decide whether it's fear or hostility. So I will continue focusing on the thoughts then on that. So,
cool.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate all of you, too. Very much so.
All right. Blessings. And the best new year yet of your eternal life.
That's an awesome gift to give the world.
And we're down to just a minute or so, so I will just offer that we appreciate each and every one of you who chooses to join us every day. And if you happen to be in the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, we'll be at Unity of Tampa starting on Sunday. We'll do 7 days of workshops. And then the following Sunday, we'll actually pick right up. We're going to do 14 days in a row. We'll be doing 7 days at Unity of St. Petersburg. So, and those workshops are set up so that they're different, except for the Why Is This Happening to Me Again and the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. The other five workshops are different titles at each center, so that if you're in the area, you can get a whole, you know, a really broad view of many different workshops that we do. Actually, you can pick up about a dozen or more of them in that two-week period. So we appreciate you being here, and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.